When you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show, he probably seems like the kind of guy you'd like to sit down and have a beer with. Except he's chronically antisocial, and beer makes him gassy. So it's probably better to just keep admiring him from a distance. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Did you make a wrong turn? Why are you here? Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Oh, God. Question is, who are you? Seriously. Hey, I went to CVS yesterday. I got the Dead Sea Scrolls as a receipt. And I can get, 15% off on cosmetics. I don't really use them. That's what they do at CVS. They go through your records before they print out the receipt, and they look at all the stuff that you never buy, and that's what they give you a coupon for. It's brilliant. Notice how they never give you a coupon for condoms. Why? Why not? Raise your hand if you don't use condoms. Yeah, see, I can tell because I see your hand. You obviously don't use them. All right, that's enough. That's the opening bit. It's finished. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Let me tell you about some of the people that make this show possible. Well, first, there's the Jonathan L. Cranshaw Fishing Foundation. Thank you to them for their many donations. And I made that up. There's no such place. John Shanahan does the opening announcements, much of the comedy writing on this program. He's brilliant. You can Google him, John Shanahan, and you'll find his website. He's amazing. And then you'll find Jason Shaw, who does the opening and closing themes for this program, and many of the incidental music, incidentally. And then there's Nicole Reed. She is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She also books many of the national interviews that we do on this particular show because I'm incapable of doing that myself. Or I have absolutely no interest in doing it. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much. I do have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, so I think, I'm not sure, but I think you'll be interested. I don't know you. I don't know what you're interested in. I don't know your thoughts, your desires, your fetishes. I have no idea. I don't know what you do during the day when you close the door and you don't let anybody in the room. I have no idea what you're doing. Perhaps you can use that coupon from CVS, huh? The balls of them to... Who else gives you a receipt that long? Come on, man. All I did was buy a pack of gum. That was my receipt, like 3 miles long. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I don't get it. Bed Bath and Beyond. I've talked about them before. They're crawling up my butt with man, stop it. I'm getting text messages now from Bed Bath and Beyond as if we're close friends. They don't do coupons. They give you this little thing. I don't know what that is, and it's 20% off one item, and it's constantly a 20% off coupon. And when you use it, they'll send you another one. They'll text you one. They'll email you one. They are coupon driven. If you ever go into Bed Bath & Beyond without the 20% coupon, you're a moron, because everybody has the 20% coupons. It's so stupid. I went into Bed Bath & Beyond once before I figured this out. I didn't have a coupon with me, which makes me the only person in the world without a coupon. And I think I bought a towel. I don't know why. I don't know why. I could have bought a towel anywhere, but I bought a towel this period. I don't know what it was. I think it was a towel. I have no idea. It could have been a rag. I don't know what the hell it was. So I go up to the cashier at Bed Bath and Beyond. Forget the and Beyond part. I go up there with a towel. And she says, do you have the coupon? It's like, are you a human being? You must have a coupon. I said, no, I don't have a coupon. And she said, all right, don't tell anybody, but here. And she hands me a coupon. And I said, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. And then she looks at me and she says, can I have the coupon? And I give it to her and she gives me 20% off. And I felt like, I didn't say it because I felt like I was missing something. But I felt like saying to her, what did you give me the coupon for if all you're going to do is ask for it back immediately? To utilize it, why didn't you just scan the coupon you had? Why'd you have to give it to me and I give it right back to you? Nonetheless, that is the procedure at Bed Bath, and don't forget Beyond. My God, if you forget that part, I'm going to Bed and Bath. Are you going where? I'm going to Bed and Bath. I'm sorry, say that again, please. Where are you going? I'm going to Bed and Bath to pick up a towel. Oh, no. Say it right. All right, I'm going to Bed Bath and Beyond. That's right. Don't you ever say it without Beyond. You know, the Beyond part, Beyonce owns part of that store. So it used to be Bed Bath and Beyonce, but they shortened it. The aunt said they couldn't fit on the building, that the sign, so just Bed Bath and Beyond. Sometimes I'll walk in there with a coupon, of course, otherwise don't go in. Don't go in, they'll shame you. If you're walking down the aisle and you don't have a coupon on you, people or the other customers will actually stop and point at you and go, look, he doesn't have a coupon. Excuse me? He came into the building and didn't have a coupon? I think they have a bridal registry. I think they do. I don't know what that means. I think the bride walks into a store like Bed Bath and Beyond and opens up a bridal registry and then has a list of the things that she wants. He doesn't do it. She does. That's sexist to say, but it's true. A list of things they want, and you go into the store and they say, this is what Sally wanted. Okay, that's a little presumptuous on her part. I'll give her whatever the hell I want. I don't think people give presents anymore at weddings. At showers, they do. Why do they call it a shower? I guess you shower them with gifts. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, she's having a baby. Oh, that's nice. Are you going to the baby shower? No, if they want to put the baby in a shower, why would I sit there and watch that? No. The shower is where you go, you give the mother, expecting mother, give her gifts. Why do they call it a shower? I mean, I'll watch her take a shower. Are you kidding me? She's attractive. She's having a baby. I'm going to go watch her take a shower. No, you got that wrong. There's going to be other people there. Ooh, kinky. Ooh, kinky. Then there's the bridal shower. Ooh, that's even better. She's not even pregnant. I can take a shower with her. No, you got that wrong too. Has nothing to do. How come we don't have groom showers? Because men don't shower together. That's disgusting. The only time you shower with other men is gym class when you're in high school. Then you shower with other men. It's not good. It's not good. I remember that. Oh, God, I remember that. It's the most embarrassing part of my life. Well, actually, that's not true. There have been many, many embarrassing parts of my life. That was just one of them. I remember in gym class. Oh, what a horrible thing. I think they have gym class in schools just to embarrass people socially. I think it's just a test. Now, I don't know about women because I've never been one. I don't know what happens in gym locker rooms with women. I've not done that. But I'll let you know, ladies, in men's locker rooms, in the shower, it's communal. You get communicable diseases. There's no divisions. There's no personal individual showers. Not when I went to a gym class in school back in 1827. No, it's communal. I mean, there's shower heads all over the wall. There are no divisions. You are standing next to other men cleaning your privates there. And it's, you know what that is? It's an exercise in not looking down. That's all that is. It's an exercise in not looking down. And there was curiosity. There was curiosity involved, you know, like, ooh, there's Bob standing right next to me. I wonder how big his is. Don't do that. You will feel horrible because Bob's in a shower and he's got like, he's a tripod. And you look down at yours and it's like, ooh, what's wrong with me? Mine is not like that. Don't do it, guys. Don't ever look down. That should be the motto. That should be on the wall of every high school, middle school, junior high school, you name it. Any boys' locker room, it should say on the wall, my God, don't look down. I don't know why they do that. Put up a couple of partitions. That would be nice. But I don't know. Maybe they do that now, but not when I went to school. No, no. It was just open, like an open-faced sandwich. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Probably because you asked. Don't ask me this. Anyway, don't ever go into Bed and Bath, excuse me, and beyond without a coupon. You'll regret it. I don't know how we got into boys' showers. No, I know. Now I know. Now I remember because that's where they have a gift registry. Sometimes I'll just wander through Bed Bath and Beyond because I have nothing else to do. There's nothing wrong with wandering through a store. You know, they don't stop you and say, excuse me, are you going to buy something? They don't do that. They don't do that. You can wander all you want. You can spend the day in there, especially on a hot day. There's air conditioning. It's not so bad. You know the story with Bed and Bath and Beyond, don't you? I think I've told you this before. When they started the store, it was just Bed and Bath. This is for before Beyonce became a part owner and Oprah, too. Oprah owns part of everything, by the way. Did you know that? Yes. Yeah. She's actually your half-sister. You didn't know that, did you? She owns you. She owns you. Actually, her network is even called the OWN Network. You think it's the Oprah Winfrey Network? No, it's the OWN Network. She owns you. Anyway, and she's not, and she doesn't walk around going, I own this, I own that, and I own this, and I own, she doesn't do that. That's why I like her, because she doesn't brag. Anyway, they started the company, it was Bed and Bath, and they had a lot of towels, which I did purchase once, as you know, without the coupon. They have towels, and they have Bed and Bath. By the way, Bed, Bath, and Beyond doesn't sell sheets. I don't think they sell sheets. I don't recall seeing bed sheets or blankets. But isn't that a large part of the bed thing? I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. So, yeah, it was Bed and Bath. And then they said, you know, we're kind of limiting our merchandise. We don't even sell sheets. We got to extend the name of it because we do have kitchen supplies and things like that. It's not Bed, Bath, and Kitchen. So I know we have kitchen things, but then that limits us just to kitchens, bed, and bath. We've got to expand our inventory here to bring more people in with coupons. All right, how about Bed, Bath, and everything else? Well, no, everything else, that's stupid. That's stupid. It's true, but it's stupid. Let's see, how about Bed, Bath, and other shit? You can't put that curse word on a building. All right, well, what else? How about Bed, Bath, and B.O.? No, Beyond. How about Beyond? Okay. Now it sounds like we're selling Star Wars merchandise or Star Trek things. Beyond. We're Bed and Bath and well beyond that. That's kind of stupid. I don't know. Put it on the building and shut up because Beyonce is part owner. Okay. That's how that happened. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was. They had a problem at the dollar store. Oh, yeah. For years and years and years and years and years, it was the dollar store because everything in the store was a dollar. And then inflation came along. Who thought that would happen? Now everything's $1.25. Did they change the name of the store? No! No! It's still the dollar store. So everything in the store is a dollar? $1.25. Oh, but it's not the $1.25 store? No, that's just too much. That's too much. I think everybody understands. So now every time I go into the dollar store, they charge me $1.25 for everything. It's like I'm thinking of bygone days. Hey, lady at the register, remember when it used to be the dollar store? You should call it the $1.25 store. You know, if I had a dollar for every time someone said you should call it the $1.25 store, I'd have $1.25. That's inflation. Do you understand that $1.25, it went up 25%? That's a lot. That's a lot. Things shouldn't go up that fast. It's a dollar store. Now everything is $1.10. $1.10. Oh, went up 10%. Okay, I can deal with that. No, they went right up to $1.25. Do you know why they did that? Because nobody has dimes and nickels anymore. That, you know, quarters are like okay now. Do you know it costs more money to manufacture a penny than it does the penny? Yes, that's a fact. Look it up on the Google machine that you have somewhere in your house or on your little stupid phone that you have tucked away in your pants or your pocketbook, whatever. U.S. Mint, which is actually very tasty. Do you ever have the U.S. Mint covered with chocolate? Very, very tasty. The U.S. Mint, they admit that it costs more than a penny to make a penny. So why are you still making pennies? Ooh, good question. Good question. Why are they still making pennies? Good question. Would anybody ever argue that, $5.32. We're going to round it up to $5.35. Oh, no, you're not. I'm not paying that. No, I don't think anybody would argue if we could get rid of the pennies for good. I think pennies should just be like, forget it. Just forget it. They have a little cup at the register when you pay for things. If anybody pays cash anymore, I don't think anybody does. But they have a little thing that says, give a penny, take a penny. And it's like, get rid of that thing. Get rid of that thing. All that is a place to put your loose change because you don't want it anymore. I don't want my loose change. I don't know the difference between give a penny, take a penny, and a tip jar. To me, they're the same thing. It's just a place to put the change so it doesn't jingle in my pocket because no one's going to take my change. One of the most frustrating things in the world to me are people that have change purses, or I'm at a supermarket and it's always the person in front of me. Always the person in front of me. They seek me out. They say, "Oh, can I go in front of you so I can delay things?" And they go up to the register and they pay cash, and it's their groceries comes to $64.32. And they give the cashier $64. They give him 3 20s and 4 singles. And then they say that magic phrase, "Wait a minute, I think I have the change." "Oh no, you don't know if you have the change. I think I have the change. I am now going on a treasure hunt in my pants or in my pocketbook. Hold on, everybody. I don't know if you have a few hours to kill. I am now going to start the search on my person for the change." "Oh no." It always takes a long time. And everybody does that little eye thing, who's waiting online behind this person, you know. They do the eye. They all look at each other. They do the eye thing. You open your eye wide, usually the left eye, or you raise your eyebrow. You don't say anything to the rest of the people. You feel like saying, "This really sucks, doesn't it? This is annoying, isn't it?" But no, you just through eye motion, You're showing that you are frustrated, and everybody else eye motions back to you. Like, I hear you. I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm feeling the same frustration. It's all because of the change. It's all because of the change. All right. My guest is going to join us momentarily. But first, this short commercial break, and then, ooh, you're going to love my guest today, I think. I'm not sure.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post, and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Nick Mellis joins us now. He's Vice President of Conservation with Ocean Conservancy. Thanks for being with us today, Nick.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
You're celebrating a one-year anniversary, but it's not marriage. It's something even better. you're trying to save the planet is what you're doing here, Nick.
We're doing our best, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we all know in recent years that the problems with plastics in the ocean and junk in the ocean is not so funny anymore. It's serious stuff. How are you able to start this project?
Well, Mr. Beast and Mark Rober are two of the world's biggest YouTubers who have been wanting to use their platforms for good. So when we got the call from them to join the Team Seas campaign, we were thrilled to participate and hopefully create lifelong advocates for our ocean planet. For nearly 40 years, Ocean Conservancy has been organizing the International Coastal Cleanup, one of the world's largest volunteer efforts on behalf of ocean health. And during that time, millions of volunteers have removed hundreds of millions of pounds of trash from our beaches, coasts, and waterways all around the world. So we know firsthand how cleanups connect people to the ocean and to this issue.
Yeah. When we talk about ocean cleanup, we can't really clean up the ocean per se. That task is absolutely too monumental. So what we're talking about are the items in the areas that are manageable, right?
For the most part, that's correct. So certainly beaches and waterways present the greatest opportunity for intervention to remove and keep plastics out of the ocean.
Right.
There are certain parts of the ocean that are a bit more favorable for removing large debris items, particularly things like lost, abandoned, or discarded fishing gear.
Mm-hmm.
We call this ghost gear often.
Mm-hmm.
These are large nets, large pieces of rope that have kind of become tangled balls of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some instances, these large items can be removed with relative ease and hard work. But for the most part, you are correct. It is really the beaches and waterways where the greatest opportunities exist to prevent plastics from reaching the ocean in the first place.
So, but we're actually talking beyond plastics when you talk about ocean junk.
We are indeed. Through the Team Seas campaign, we are targeting any debris and trash that is polluting our beaches, our waterways, or our ocean.
Mm-hmm.
However, we know from more than 30 years of data through Ocean Conservancy's International Coastal Cleanup that about 85 to 90% of all debris ever found is made of plastic.
Yeah.
And the majority of those items are single-use plastics that we use in our everyday lives, like plastic bags, straws, foam takeaway, food packaging. So it is everything that we are cleaning. We truly have found everything, including the proverbial kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the majority of items we do find and those items that pose the greatest threat to the ocean are plastic.
And in many cases, plastics are consumed by ocean life and therefore even choking that off on top of just having junk thrown around and such. Let me ask you, is the United States a forerunner of this concept, or are we grossly lagging behind other countries in their efforts?
Well, every country on this planet has a role to play, whether they have a coastline or not, because at the end of the day, the ocean is downstream always. And the United States, because we are the world's largest producer of plastic waste.
Yeah.
We have 4% of the world population. We make about 17% of the world's plastic waste. That makes us as high as third in terms of countries contributing to coastal plastic pollution. So we have a huge responsibility to take bold action through policies at the state and federal level and in reevaluating how we are consuming, managing, and recycling plastics in our everyday lives. So we are a huge part of the problem, and we have a huge responsibility to get it right.
Mm. Now, excuse my ignorance, but are all plastics in this category, are there plastics that are actually reusable, and does that matter if they're just lying in the ocean? I mean, where's the technology on this?
Such a great question. And at the end of the day, plastics are not all created equal. So there are items out there that are far more recyclable than others. Things like plastic bottles, rigid plastic containers, many of these products can in fact be recycled.
Mm-hmm.
However, the majority of plastics that are currently made and sold for single-use consumption and packaging are simply not recyclable, even if they have the arrows on the bottom. However, to your question, when they end up in the ocean, it doesn't matter if they're recyclable or not. It doesn't matter if they are made from corn or if they are compostable.
Yep.
At the end of the day, plastics, once they reach the ocean, break up into smaller and smaller pieces over time and are posing risk to the myriad animals that live there.
Wow. This is a subject matter where we're doing the best we can. It's like saving the planet. We're doing the best we can, even though we're still destroying it. I mean, is there an end to this, or we're doing the best we can?
I think we have room to improve. I think we are doing much better. And over the last decade to 15 years, I would say, as I've been working on this issue, it's been remarkable to see the evolution quite rapidly of public awareness, policy conversations, corporate responsibility, shifting from a place 10 to 15 years ago where people were barely aware of the problem to now from all walks of life, from in all global policy fora, people are demanding bold action. And that doesn't solve the problem today, but it is critical to have that awareness to generate and push forward the policies that are necessary. And that's precisely why we are so excited about the partnership through the Team Seas campaign, because we are reaching new audiences, new generations of influencers, YouTube personalities, gamers, and creating these lifelong ocean advocates that ultimately apply the pressure needed to create smart, durable policy.
Is it safe to say that the younger generation, I don't know what you call them anymore, XWP, is it safe to say that they are much more in tune with this situation than the older generations?
I think overall, yes. I think we're seeing a demand from the younger generation of businesses to optimize their packaging, to think about the materials that are being used, change the way they are distributing products, and thinking, can we eliminate packaging altogether and change the way we deliver products and value to those of us that want the goods but don't want the mess that comes with it.
Yes.
So I do think we are increasingly seeing pressure from younger generations to change the status quo. And again, the Team Seas campaign is a perfect platform to engage and reach these new audiences who ultimately will decide what the future of policy and kind of global markets look like.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, I ran into, there was a restaurant, they had paper straws. They said, no more plastic here, and I love that. And there was a guy saying, these paper straws are very inconvenient. They got soggy. I don't like them. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to get in a fight, but I felt like saying, try putting your lips up to the glass and drinking it. I mean, come on. You know, that's the attitude that just annoys me. But congratulations to you for what you do and for pushing. And you're right. The more people that know the actual facts, if we've been talking about it, what the ramifications of these plastics can be, the more we can probably do even about it. Nick, where do we go for more information?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. You can go to signuptocleanup.org and find a cleanup near you to help us reach that 30 million pound goal of the Team Seas campaign, or you can download our mobile app CleanSwell and participate and contribute to the global cleanup effort anytime, anywhere.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your conversation today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.